Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Dynamic currency conversion, or DCC, has a transformative impact on global travel and financial transactions. Today, we're going to explore how financial institutions are leveraging DCC to create new revenue streams and provide better services to their customers. I mean, imagine it, a world where currency management is no longer a hassle for international travelers. Sounds pretty great. To delve deeper into this topic, I'm joined by Ed Robles, an expert in financial technology solutions with Euronet Worldwide, and Albert Bodine, Director of Commercial at Javelin Strategy and Research. It's great to have you both here. Ed, global travel seems to be rebounding strongly post-pandemic. Where do you see this trend going, and how is it affecting international financial transactions?
That's a good question, Rima. The surge in international or global travel we are witnessing right now is quite remarkable. You know, after years of restrictions and uncertainties, I think people are eager to explore the world again. And we're seeing it occur, whether it's leisure or business, to visiting or reconnecting with loved ones. And as a result of that international travel approaching, if not surpassing pre-pandemic levels, the need for financial transactions and transparency is even greater now because of the so many cross borders that we're having. It's not the flying across the world anymore. It's flying from country to country, whether it's in Latin America or Europe or Asia. Those cross border travelers are increasing a lot greater, I believe.
Yeah. And, you know, in that we both, what I understand, we both have done a lot of international travel for, a good portion of our working lives. I remember the days where, whether it was for a personal transaction, you know, for travel, or even in cases of business transactions, you know, cash was required and we had to partake in some type of hedging activity, you know, whether it was a natural hedge, whether we had to have actually deposits in the country where we were going to do business, or we had to have some other hedging mechanism. So dynamic currency conversion is just really important, you know, I love the transparent aspect of it. You know, the fact that, as I know you're going to talk about, that you get to see the fee structure on the front end and the costs that it actually drives down. You know, those hedging activities cost a lot to do. And certainly if you use intermediaries, that is the most expensive method. So DCC is both from a consumer perspective and a travel and entertainment, but also from a commercial perspective, super, super impactful.
Yeah, very, very true. I mean, we've seen those kiosks at the airport that, you know, a lot of us used to run to. And at the end of the day, you know, when we understand what we've paid to convert that money, we're looking at 17 to 20% just to convert dollars into local currency or other currency. And then we would get hit again when we would leave to convert back to our local currency. So yes, DCC is really a very inexpensive way and a very transparent way to understand exactly what it is that you're withdrawing or paying for at a point of sale terminal in these international markets that travelers go.
Ed, I want to take a step further and, you know, dive deeper into dynamic currency conversion. What is it exactly and how does it benefit both travelers and financial institutions?
DCC, or dynamic currency conversion, is, I'm going to simplify it as best as I can, is a way for you to understand what it is that you're withdrawing in an ATM or paying at a point of sale terminal in your own currency. For example, if you withdraw at an ATM and you're in Argentina or withdrawing pesos in Argentina, and you don't know what the rate or the conversion rate was, the DCC will convert it for you at that point at the screen and provide that for you. So you have the option as the cardholder to accept or deny the transaction based on the conversion. If you accept, your receipt will give you exactly the same numbers that you've seen on the screen, so you know exactly what it is that you withdrew or you paid for in your home currency. Although the money that you're withdrawing is the local currency, but you know exactly what it is in your home currency. As it gets back to your bank, that same amount will be on your statement when at the end of the month when you get it. And there is no hidden fees to it. So you don't get hit with international fees or you don't get hit with any other conversion fees. It's all transparent there in front of you. Therefore, you can budget as easily and seamlessly as you can. I think the ease is the most important in understanding what it is that you're spending. It's just the conversion and presentment and you understanding and accepting.
So, Ed, you made a really good point before, and you basically said that legacy methods would get you coming and going, you know, when. And I'm interested to know, I'm going to ask you to kind of look into your crystal ball here, but real life scenario for me, my wife and I had an event that was going on in Italy, and we had to have a fair amount of euros in order to pay vendors that only accepted cash. We couldn't use our credit card, and some of them didn't have the ability to take wired funds. Not that we wanted to do that anyway. But at the end of the event, we had a fair number of euros on hand, and we knew what it was going to cost us to go, you know, to a kiosk at the airport or to go to our bank back in the United States. It was going to be astronomical. So do you see in the near future, or at least a path to us getting to the point where we can do the reverse of that transaction, where we can take those euros in Italy, deposit them into the ATM, and then have them appear in our bank account, in my case, in US dollars back in the US?
Yes, absolutely. That's terrific. The technology exists already. We're in the process of certifying some ATM makes and models to accept the cash in. So that would be the reversed engineered process of the withdrawal of the cash. Here you deposit it and can't convert it back to your currency, as well as understand what that conversion rate is. Because you're right. I mean, we get hit 17, 20% at the airport kiosk. And when we want to exchange it back to our local currency, we get hit again. So it's very expensive to do that. And having the reverse or deposit of the foreign or the local currency back to our currency makes it a lot easier and less expensive than if we would go to the kiosk or back to our banks in our home countries. You're absolutely right.
And based on like what you and Al have already spoken about, it sounds like many travelers are still facing the challenge of accessing cash while abroad. Like Al was in Italy, had to pay vendors through cash, wasn't able to use a wire, wasn't able to use a credit card. I'm sure the other consumers throughout the world are experiencing the same. Can you speak about the common difficulties and how Euronet is addressing these issues with travelers, kind of potentially even cutting out the hassle?
Yeah, in a lot of foreign countries, there's still not a huge deployment of ATMs like we have here in the U.S. So the banks mainly are the ATM owners, and we're seeing this change. But right now is finding a location that can provide DCC for you and give you an understanding of what your transactions cost are going to be. It's a lot more difficult because they're not everywhere like we have it here. The convenience is not there. So when you find a location, whether it's an ATM or a point of sale that does offer it, and we're working with a lot of banks and merchants around the world, it's easier to have that relationship with those vendors, whether it's a bank or a merchant. You have that relationship as a foreign card holder. You go and you build on those relationships. You go back to the same bank, you go back to the same merchant, and you utilize it because of the convenience. And Euronet is their network of DCC or secure exchange customers. It's growing every day. So we're getting that and working with the local merchants and banks and providing those services. And we build those relationships with their merchants as well. I want to share a story of a client I had down in South America. One of our ATM financial institutions was looking at their reports. We go over their reports with them on a monthly basis to let them know what's trending, what's happening. And we noticed that the Australian dollar was growing in a certain area a lot. There was a lot of exchanges happening DCC in a certain area of Australians. So we notified the bank and the bank notified their merchants. One of the merchants was a restaurant. They incorporated into their menu Australian beer and advertised it. Their revenues grew because the Australians came to have dinner there, just because they saw something they were familiar with. And the way that happened was through the DCC analytics that we provide our customers. They were able to notice that there was a lot of Australians there, and they introduced an Australian beer, and their revenues went up. That's kind of cool.
So, Ed, I have a similar story in that I actually want to talk about, bring up another point, but I was involved at one point in a a finance capacity with the tourism board in Chicago. And one of the things they found out, because Chicago had made it very easy for Chinese nationals to access cash in Chicago, there was an enormous amount of revenue that came in Chicago from Chinese travelers. And they, just to your point, like you said, in the Australian beer drinkers, these were, you know, they had targeted China. They made it easy, you know, for them to get here, or at least made it easier for them to get into Chicago. They had, you know, the whole ecosystem set up. But the main thing was their ability to access cash and spend money. So that's really interesting. One thing I didn't want to bring up about DCC and you know, in countries where there are underbanked populations. We did a study in this, and we talked about this before, Ed, but the cross-border paper that I'm turning out from Javelin this week, we analyzed some of the routes around the world where if you were to send $200 through, you know, the traditional, we'll call it correspondent banking means or other methods, to send $200 in some cases would cost you $104 in fees on one of the routes, 58 on another, 36 on another, 30. So that's unimaginable. You're talking about 52% of the transmitted amount in fees that, you know, the intermediaries are taking. So especially in those areas where you have populations that aren't fully banked, obviously can't afford to have half the amount that's being sent to them taken out in fees, DCC becomes really, really important. And not to say that it isn't in the Western world, but it gets notched up a bit when you start talking about these non-Western countries.
Right. And we talked a little bit about it earlier on the some of the countries in Latin America. There is the citizens will get cards from other countries to come back and utilize them for e-commerce because the fees are so high that they're being charged, you know, 50%, 70% on what they are purchasing. So they utilize cards from other areas and they become a foreign DCC transaction from their country, but it's still a lot less expensive than if they would pay with the local card and if they would accept the local card, because some of these countries have fraud that's so high that they won't even accept those cards. So that's a great point, and we're seeing it in Latin America.
Ed and Al, you've covered a lot of like ground thus far, kind of giving us the current states of things as well as the challenges that consumers are facing. Are there any key takeaways that you want to leave the audience with? Any final thoughts?
For me, I want to add one thing. We talked about convenience. What are the convenience for the consumer that's going to a DCC? It's being transparent. It's less expensive, and they don't have to carry a lot of cash like if they would exchange it at a kiosk. Therefore, for safety and security reasons, it's better to do that because then they build that relationship and go back to these same ATMs to withdraw the money that they need that day or pay at the local stores. So that's another area that's also a benefit to the consumer. And again, for the bank or the ATM owner or the POS merchant, it's revenue, increased revenue because of relationship building with the consumer. It's also increased financial transactions for them which increases the revenue. So I think it's a win-win. We don't hear that term very often, but here it's a true win-win for the consumer and the acquirer of the DCC transaction.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.